Today is May the 3rd, 2020, and if you would please look in your Bibles at 1 John chapter 3. As we all continue praying, looking forward to life getting back to the way it was, we're still living in uncertain times. And as I've said before, there continues to be conflicting information, and of course blaming everyone and everything, that'll go on forever, and that doesn't help anything either. And during this time there are lots of unknowns, and with that, of course, there's a lot of conspiracy theories floating around. There are lots of things we may never know, but we're so privileged to know a little bit about God's Word. And in last week's teaching, I think it was really good to be reminded that God's grace and peace are available, no matter what we're faced with. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but it's very significant that in every church epistle, they open with grace and peace. And by the way, I've posted four of our recent teachings. They're on the blog, confidenceandjoy.com. I put a new tab up there. It's called Recent Teachings. They're up there if you would like to listen to them again. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at God's Word from a practical point of view in light of the days we're living in. But really, so much of what I've been sharing is very practical and applicable for anything we encounter, anytime we encounter challenges. Life's not always smooth sailing. It's not always sunshine and roses. And so whether it's a pandemic or any challenge or obstacle we may face, small ones or big ones, in those times, our faith is tested. In other words, what we truly believe is confronted. Now we know God doesn't bring evil and hardships to test us to see if we really love Him or believe Him. God does not do that. But when we're faced with unpleasant challenges, unexpected hardships, even tragedies, our faith, what we believe, is confronted and tested. You know, because it's easy to praise God and sing songs and be ever so positive in the good times, right? But where do we go in those seasons when life gets rough and tough? Last week, I pointed out how really important it is to recognize, understand, and believe who we are in God's sight as a result of being born again. And I would like to elaborate a little more on that this morning. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." If our heart condemn us, the word condemn in this verse, in 1 John, is not the same word that's used in Romans 8:1, which you might be familiar with. Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In Romans 8, that word condemnation, it's a legal word that means a legal verdict of guilt. In other words, a guilty verdict. But here in 1 John, where it says, "If our heart condemn us," this is a different word, and this word means to find fault, to blame, to accuse, to point a finger. It says, if our heart condemns us, if we are condemning ourselves, finding fault, accusing for our shortcomings, our falling short, you know, accusing ourselves of not measuring up. You know, when we do that, what does that lead to? I think we all know it leads to feelings of unworthiness or sin consciousness, doesn't it? We've all been there before. When we do that, we're not very blessed, are we? We're not very happy. The verse goes on to say, God is greater than our heart. God is greater than what? It says our heart. What heart? our heart that's condemning us. God's greater than that, and He knows all things. He knows who we really are. He knows who He made us to be. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If our own heart is not blaming, accusing, pointing a finger, finding fault, then we have confidence. And it's really beautiful because that word confidence means to speak freely, openly, not holding anything back. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 4:16 where it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly, we're invited to come before the throne room of God's grace, speaking freely, openly, holding nothing back. But you know what? We can't do that if our heart is condemning us, if we're finding fault, blaming. Verse 20 again, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. Isn't that beautiful? If we're looking at all our shortcomings, we can struggle with God's willingness to do what He's promised. We know He's able, but for me? And see, that's why I've said it's so important to recognize, understand, and believe who we really are in God's sight as a result of being born again. And so we're going to look at that some this morning. If you would, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole record here in John 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus, but you know, we use the phrase born again, and that's a very good phrase. Because as we'll read here in John chapter 3, Jesus talked to Nicodemus about two births. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night to talk to him. In verse 3, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man or woman, except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You might have a center reference note that says born again is born from above, and that's literally what it means. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus used the word birth, born. And that's why Nicodemus in verse 4 said, what? How can somebody be born when he's old, when he's already been born? I mean, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's the first birth, you know, pregnant mom, water breaks. Except a man be born of water and, here's the other birth, of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first time we were born. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the new birth, being born again. And then Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or born from above. Boy, you know, the word born comes up a whole bunch in those few verses, doesn't it? Jesus said, you must be born again, or born from above. We refer to it sometimes as the new birth. In 1 Peter, it says, God has begotten us again. And also in Peter, it says, being born again. And as you know, birth indicates life, new life. And the Bible has much to say about this new life that we have. Perhaps the most impressive quality of this new life is that it's eternal life. Everlasting life, not from the first birth, but this new birth. And this everlasting life, it's a gift. We cannot earn it. Romans 6 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians tells us we're saved by grace, not of works. Can't earn it or work for it. You know, in this same Gospel of John, verse 16, which is pretty familiar with many people, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life from believing in Jesus. So, according to the Bible, those who have accepted Christ, we have this new life, this eternal life from being born again or born from above, begotten by God Almighty. There are some Christian groups who preach that we are all broken. You know, we're lost, we're sinful, we're needy. We need God to repair us. And as we turn to him, then he begins to fix or repair us because we're broken. Before we accepted Christ, the Bible says, among other things, that we were ungodly, without hope, without God, sinners, dead in sin, a child of wrath, an alien, a stranger, having no hope, far off from God, without Christ, unrighteous, born under the authority or power of darkness, and condemned, a guilty verdict. Now, I would say that's pretty broken. But that was before we accepted Christ. After we believed, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead, at that moment, we were born from above, a birth. And God gave us a new life, a new nature, the Bible says. And this new nature God gave us is not broken. Far from it. You know, in Colossians, it says of those who are born again, we are complete. Well, how in the world can we be broken and complete? Are we completely broken? And please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be critical of the popular teaching that says we are all broken. I'm just highly in favor of what God says. I mean, it says in Ephesians that God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Are they all broken? I don't think so. And yes, we still have this old nature, right? The old habits. But we also have a new nature. And Ephesians 4 says that this new nature was created in righteousness and true holiness. So yeah, we still have an old nature. And that old nature is definitely broken. But we can't fix the old nature. If we could, why would God give us a new nature? He'd say, fix the old man. So look, if we can't repair it, if we can't make the old nature right before God, why in the world would we want to accept or focus and see ourselves as broken? God in the Bible tells us to put off that old nature and put on the new nature. How do we do that? Well, the only place you can do that is in your own mind. In the book of Romans, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means putting into your mind who this new nature is. That's what renewing the mind is all about. You know, renewing the mind is not about, oh, gee, I know I need to cut the lawn. I don't want to. Well, I'm going to renew my mind and cut the lawn. Renewing your mind has nothing to do with cutting the lawn or doing chores or doing it. Renewing the mind from the Bible is all about putting into our minds the truths of the new nature. And in doing that, we become transformed. Might as well look at Ephesians 4. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. And in verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, former way of life, former behavior. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's pretty broken, isn't it? And be renewed, look at this, it's so clear, in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the old, put on the new. And the Bible tells us so much about this new nature, this new man, it's called. And since the Bible tells us so much about this new nature, you know what? That means when you open this book and read what God has written for born-again ones, when you read it, do you accept and believe what God says about you? Regardless of how you feel or what you've done or not done, is it true what God says about you? Are you really who God says you are? Do you really have what God says you have? Can you really do what God says you can do? As you read in the church epistles, I wrote some things down. You can listen to this. But when you read the church epistles, here's some of what you will find about you. So just listen to this. Before you were born again, you were dead in trespasses and sins, but now you are alive, new nature, alive in Christ. Before you were born again, you were a child of wrath, but now you are a child of God. Before you were born again, you were born under the authority or power of darkness, but now you are delivered from Satan's power and placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Before you were born again, you were full of sins, but now you have received forgiveness of all your sins. Before you were born again, you were declared guilty, condemned. But now there's no more condemnation, no more guilty verdict. He's forgiven you all trespasses. Before you were born again, you were without God. But now God is in you by way of His Spirit He has given you. Before you were born again, you were far off from God. But now you're not only accepted by God, you have access to God, access to the Creator. Before you were born again, you were without strength, no spiritual strength. But now you have received power from on high. Before you were born again, you were an alien, a stranger. But now you are a member in particular of the household of God and a partaker of the inheritance in the kingdom of His dear Son. Before you were born again, you had no hope and you were without Christ. But now you have Christ in you, and you have the hope of Christ's return. You will meet Him face to face. Before you were born again, you were unrighteous in God's eyes, but now you are righteous because God made you righteous. He made you lovely and acceptable, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. My goodness, hearing those things, it's a lot more exciting and encouraging than going down the COVID-19 rabbit hole, isn't it? Oh my goodness. Do we believe these great truths? You know, this and there's more. You know, the Bible talks about we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This is who God says we are in His sight. This is a little bit about who this new man is, that new nature, that new life that we have. And God says, walk in newness of life. God's word says, put off the old and put on the new in our minds. I know this, seeing yourself as God sees you will revitalize your prayer life. See yourself as God sees you, your confidence in His willingness will skyrocket. Yeah, we still have that old nature. And yeah, that old nature is ugly and broken. And sometimes people say, wow, I need to get my act together. I really need to change some things. Or at times someone might tell you, hey, look, bro, you need to change. And sure, of course, it's not a very good thing if our lives are dominated by the old nature. You know, in the book of Romans and Galatians, it talks about how those two natures are opposites. They're contrary one to the other. And there are Christians who choose to live their lives according to the old nature. That's sad. But if they want God's blessings, yes, of course they need to change. But how? The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a person to change. Not rules and regulations, not shaming someone for their deeds. The goodness of God. And the more you see who you really are in God's eyes and what He's done for you, oh my goodness, that's His goodness, isn't it? All that goodness, you know, from the things that I just read before, it's almost overwhelming when you think about it. It's the goodness of God that leads a person to change. You know, you don't have to be a Bible-reading Christian to know that stealing's wrong and lying's wrong or any number of old nature habits and deeds, right? But so often, religion works on the outside. Make the outside perfect. Stop doing this. Stop doing that so that you can be holy before God. That's all backwards. Because true change happens on the inside first. And that means in our minds. Seeing the goodness of God. Seeing what that new nature is all about. And as we notice here in Ephesians, it's a two-part process. We put off the old man with his deeds by putting on the new nature, pouring into our brains the information about the new nature. Yeah, it doesn't work if we go, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop. It's a two-part process. Put off the old and put on the new. Put off the old and put on the new by accepting who God says we are, by believing what God says about us. Boy, no wonder the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. By the grace of God, you are who God says you are. I would like to look at Romans chapter 8, if you would. I'm sure this is familiar to most of us. Romans chapter 8. This is just beautiful. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. If he did that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Does that sound like God is willing? Yes. Then we ought to believe him. Verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? See, that's rhetorical. God justified us. God made us righteous. We're holy and without blame before him in love. So is he laying anything to our charge? No, he's not. Then why should we? If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. Verse 34, who's he that's condemning? Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Again, it's rhetorical. Is Christ condemning us? Well, no, not hardly. He's making intercession on our behalf to the Father. If he's not, why should we? If he's not, then why should we? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, all seven of these that are listed in verse 35 can certainly cause fear, anxiety. The first one is tribulation, means affliction, mental or physical pressure, stress. shall distress. Distress means to be crowded into a narrow space, like you're caught in the corner, you feel squeezed. Persecution means you're being pursued after, hassled, harassed, lie about you, try to stop you. You know, there is some persecution of Christians in some areas in this country, but nothing like our brothers and sisters live through in other parts of the world, like China, North Korea, and other places. Famine, not enough food to eat. Nakedness, lack of clothing or shelter. Peril. Peril means danger or risk. Remember in Corinthians, Paul wrote about perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of this. Yeah, he had a lot of perils to deal with. A lot of danger. Could certainly include a plague, couldn't it? Sure. And then sword, your life threatened. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, 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 no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All seven of these things. God says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what really struck my mind as I was reading this? It says, we are. We are. We don't try to be more than a conqueror. God says we are. That's who we are. More than conquerors in all these things. The old broken nature, certainly not more than a conqueror, but in the new nature, we are more than conquerors. Wow. That's some information to put in my head, maybe more than once. I think it was 5 or 6 weeks ago I shared from Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the methods of the devil. If you happen to miss that one, go back and listen to it. It's from March 29th. Put on the whole armor of God. That's our job. Put God's words in our mind. That's my job. So when God says put off the old and put on the new, that's my job. Put God's word into my mind. That's where the change comes from. And I mentioned before where Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew. It's like when a kitchen gets remodeled. You know, what do they do when they remodel a kitchen? Well, they take out the old floor, put in a new floor. Take out the old cabinets, put in the new cabinets. Take out the old appliances, put in the new appliances. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put off the old man and put on the new man. It all takes place in our brains. True change happens on the inside first. That means in our minds. More than conquerors, it said. Is that through our own strength? No, of course not. Of course not. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Reverend Cummins translated that as, I prevail in all things by him who empowers me. You know, there was a time when we were without strength. That was before. That was then. This is now. More than conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Not through our own strength, we aren't. Verse 38, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My goodness, is God willing to do it for you? Well, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing you do right makes God love you more. Nothing you do wrong makes God love you less. Nothing can separate you from his love. The more you identify with the broken old nature, the less worthy of God you will see yourself. But the more you accept and believe what God says about you, the more confidence you will have that He is both able and willing to bring His word to pass for you. And I would encourage you to take some time this week to discover, or in a lot of cases, rediscover you, who you really are, by reading the church epistles. And as you read them, take note of what God says about you, who you are in His sight, what He has done for you. Because regardless of what you think, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you've done or not done, we are who God says we are. We have what God says we have, and we can do what God says we can do. For if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the words that we can read to know who we are and what you've done for us. And Father, we're overwhelmed by your goodness, by your love. And Father, how humbled we are to know that your love is that big for us, that you would do that much, that you would give us what you've given us. And Father, we certainly do anticipate Jesus Christ's return, and we have a great hope, and we know He's coming back. We're not hopeless. At the same time, Father, we're not helpless. No matter what goes on in our lifetimes, we're not helpless people. You told us we are more than conquerors. Father, may we continue to put your word into our minds, the word of God that you've given to us of who we really are. And as we do that, Father, may we be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can walk in that newness of life and that we can live victoriously in this day and time as more than conquerors that you made us. Thank you, Father, for the great privilege to share your word this morning with your people. I pray and ask you to bless everyone, to help them, to guide them, to bring healing that's needed. And Father, for your presence in our lives, for us to, Father, just walk with you. And Father, may you continue to walk with us and help us and guide us. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I just want to say thank you all for joining us in this phone-in fellowship that we're doing. We're going to do it again next Sunday. And so, again, feel free to give this information to anyone you think that might be interested. Very blessed to be with you again. I'm going to unmute so that everyone on the phone can try to say goodbye. But thank you again for joining us. Have a fantastic week ahead, and God bless you all.